heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
What's happening now in this election cycle, and certainly with President Trump in the first term, to the left, he is a very polarizing figure that they have a very hard time digesting. To the right of the country, they believe he's the best man for the job and want to take on the establishment. Now, as I've said to you repeatedly over the last 4 years, this was never going to be an easy job, people, ever. Anytime you utter those words, drain the swamp, well, number one, swamp creatures don't like it. They don't want to be drained because when that happens, they can't breathe anymore, you see. And so that corruption breeds itself all throughout the swamp. So, you know, you have to remember when he came down, he was a threat, came down the escalator. He was a threat immediately to the system for a lot of reasons. And you remember those early conversations when they took his words out of context. And so, oh, he's a bigot, he's a racist, and he's a xenophobe, he's a this, he's a that, he's a, you know. And, of course, a lot of that is Donald Trump, they knew who he was. He was a known figure in the business community for sure. Everybody knew who he was. I mean, and they supported him, all the politically elite, all the celebrity elite, all the everybody thought. But he was a different kind of man because he was the, well, how do you say, the working man's man, you see, the blue collar man, the real people, real Americans. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you look back at this election, make no mistake about it. What he has done, which I really, really like, is he has made the Republican Party more approachable. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, people, especially when you are branded as the old white man party. That is not an easy thing to pull off. I mean, for a long time, let's face it, the Republican elite have pushed away. They've been their own worst enemy. Instead of embracing our beautiful diversity in our great nation, they have pushed it away. And of course, the left, the socialist left, were all too willing to scoff all that up and do their lies and cheat and steal. And that's what they did. And I'm talking the extremists. I'm not talking people in the middle aisle now. I'm not talking, you know, moderates, independents, and just right of center. Those are Americans who understand. And I would think a lot of those Americans voted for Donald Trump, in fact. And I think the history will show that. So we have this dilemma in our country. Where are we headed as a nation? And there was all this talk leading up to the election of a blue wave and a red wave. And, you know, everybody gets in their corners and we all come out. No, we're the best. We're the best. And we have a real fight in the spirit in this country, if you think about it. We are unique in that way as a democratic republic, as we are, would be the way I would sum that up, that we can't have these debates and discussions. The problem is it's getting a little serious now, and it's hard to get to the water cooler later in the day and have real conversation, as would have happened in the Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill days. That would have been the way, that would have been normal business back then. And they would have come to the water cooler and, you know, you move on with the day and somebody wins, somebody loses the argument and you fight for another day. Today, it's a different story, people. It's a different animal now. You know, you don't want to take this American experiment for granted. I tell you that every day of my life, every day, this beautiful American paradise, we are so blessed to be part of. And I tell you that at the end of every show. Today, I'm going to tell you right at the beginning, we should never take that for granted. This, we are blessed truly as a people, and we forget that. We forget that day to day in the battle of the fight. You see, it's easy to forget that when it's all about winning and the other side, they stink or they're bad or they're evil or they're corrupt or they're fraud or whatever. The left would say that about the right and the right would say that about the left. It's hard sometimes, sometimes to make any sense out of that, isn't it now? You know, say, well, where is the truth in any of that? It reminds me as a young boy, you know, it's your truth, his truth, and the real truth, right? Everybody has a truth. A lot of times it depends how you package that truth, how you package it and put it out there and promote your own truth, whether people are going to buy it or not. One of the things I was most interested in this election, as I think you were probably out there as well, is what would the telltale signs of election 2020 be, actually? Where did America make its stand? How did people vote? How did they feel? In other words, where's the future of the country headed? Well, there was no blue wave, as the media promoted. Now, these prognosticators and the outright liars, they used the polls and they used all the data to twist the information on the American people. And they told a corrupt, wicked story that, oh, my God, Trump, Biden was going to win 17 points, 15 points, 12 points in these various states, when in fact, Trump won some of those states and others, they were like within a point. So that means, this was an habitual lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. This wasn't just a one-time off thing. This wasn't like, well, you remember that poll, such and such happened. And this was like lie after lie after lie. And it just kept coming. And we kept seeing those headlines. Oh, my God, Biden, this blue wave is going to be a tsunami. It's going to drown everything out. And people, that didn't happen. There was no blue wave. In fact, it was a trickle in effect that petered out immediately. And when you look at the down ballot races up and down, it stands to reason. And we can argue this all day long, but fraud and corruption are alive and well in America. And this vote in 2020 is just writ with fraud, and it's disgusting. And as I said to the other day, it is time we come up with one election system in our nation, not 50. This idea of 50 different ways to choose your lover or choose your local politician is nothing but rubbish. There should be one. If we are the United States, it's time to make us united in the way we vote and not have everybody have a different set of rules. And I also think, and I've said this to you, and I'm going to say it again. I mean, Election Day should be a national holiday. Take from something else. I don't care where else you take it. National holiday. That should be a sacred holiday in our nation. Absolutely. The other thing is the polling places. And I think you got to get this all off of the cyber aspect because there's too much fraud in cyberland. We got to get back to just hand ballots. We got to take our voting seriously. I think it's time you have the National Guard in play. I think it's a serious moment for our nation to be able to choose the next winner, the next leader, the next person who's going to take the country forward. And all of these other races in Senate and House and down ballot races. Now, when you look at those races in 2020 in this election cycle, in fact, the right, the Republicans took back a lot of House seats. And that number is still a moving target. But it appears to going to be north of 10, could be 12, could be even more. It's moving in that direction now. So there will be just a handful of a majority that the speaker will have, to her disposal to be able to push her agenda, her socialist corrupt agenda. And that's another thing we were talking about, the end of the Democrat Party. And it's getting interesting there because she's going to have a very difficult time keeping the far left at bay. These people are out of their minds right now as they're pushing this socialist communist agenda on America. And she's going to have a hard time uniting that group. She had a hard time this last cycle. She's going to have an even harder time this cycle because there's more patriots in there. There's more conservative loving Americans in there. And that's going to be a fight that she's going to have a hard time. Now, she also announced the other day, I don't know if you've seen this. This is going to be her last run as speaker, she says. She's out there now in the public with that. You know, we'll see. But clearly, a lot of people think that she is real past her prime. And not really in the best places. And I'm going to speak to you more in the days ahead on that, what they have as leadership and what's really behind this leadership. But staying on course here today, this whole concept now of socialism, and which is really communism, people coming to America, it's no longer some funny game that we talk about on the ball field as kids, as I say, with the American Communist Party, which did exist back then. But they were nothing to them. And it was a bit of a joke, we thought. It kind of is no longer a joke as it's creeping more and more into society now. And there are real people, real politicians running on this ticket. There are people that are expanding their approach in Congress with that squad group who's expanded their group of lunatics that have joined that group. as well as you combine the Bernie Sanders coalition, and now you end up with the socialist cabal. And what does that really look like for America? And so now it's a part of the fraction. It's part of the piece. We had a talk back in July, August, you might remember this, about the popular vote of 47 states decides America's future. And we had that talk taken about, okay, all right, if we really, really want to see where America is, what do we got to do? Well, all right, so let's, for this exercise, pull off New York. Let's pull off California. Let's pull off Illinois. Let's pull off those three states. I mean, you could pull off more than that, but those were the three that we highlighted in that talk, you remember. And we said, all right, if we, subtracted the popular vote from those three states, would that tell us a story as far as where the country is headed? Where are we headed as a nation? You see what I'm saying here? Why that's important? And I'm not saying we give up on those states, although some people are suggesting that these days because they've become so radical. Well, the reason they're radical, people, is they're electing radical leaders. I mean, these leaders, like, you know, I mean, you take Chicago, Lightfoot, you know, and that particular Garcetti in L.A., Blasio in New York City. And you look at, you know, and then the governors, of course, you know, you see the conflict and the controversy with Cuomo in the last many days and all the, you know, his more lockdowns and radical agenda that he's promoting as he's selling books out there for the COVID tour and blaming the president for everything. And then you see Newsom in California out for that beautiful dinner. And that's been all over the media and what have you, as he's telling Californians to lock down. And we could say, well, that's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a kind word for that kind of a thing. These people are downright evil. They are evil. And it's about time that their constituents in those markets face up to the fact of what they've elected and unelect them if they care for to have any future. So that's kind of a tipping point where we are in our nation. Do the politics of California, New York, and Illinois bleed into the rest of the country, you see? And we know the Northeast, by chance, New England, is very radical. I mean, this is very socialist. These are, I mean, they call themselves progressive. I mean, there's nothing progressive about that party. That's just a catch word they use to be funny. You know, like to think we're really something. Yeah, we know what they are. But, you know, you take that whole New England area, you can't wrap your mind around it sometimes as to what these people are doing. I don't know if the fumes from all the manufacturing and the pipes there have gone to their heads. I'm not sure if that's the case or what's really, or acid rain or what the hell is going on up there. I don't really know. But I have to tell you, there's something in the water up there in New England. It's funny, East Coast, West Coast, right? West Coast, East Coast. And then there is all this red throughout the country where you see people. I don't know what that means. I don't know if the ocean water is polluting their brains. I don't know if it's acid rain coming down. I don't know. They keep electing the craziest people into power. And they get what they get now. And then a lot of them say, well, we don't like this. We can't have Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, we don't like this. We can't, you know, we can't go out. We can't have people in our home. You're telling us how to live. You want us to do this, you know, wear a mask 100% of the time, do this, do that. And yet they don't do any of it. And what does that tell you right there? So you see where I'm going. This is kind of the inroads now to really the takeover of America. And it's not funny now. This is not a laughing game anymore. And as I say, it's not casual water cooler talk anymore about the Communist Party of America. This is now out in the open, people. These are real people. These areas are put into office. And so we're at this point now in our nation where, if anything, election 2020 told us is that, and I don't like to really use the word red wave, blue wave. I don't think America's looking for waves right now, truth be told, or tsunamis even. I know a lot of people, oh, we're going to win. Everybody wants to win in politics, you know. Most of the country's just trying to pay their bills, people, and have a job at the end of the day. I mean, they're not in all these waves and tsunami talk that political people love to talk about. Who's going to be the dominant force of power? It's what it always is in the political world, isn't it now, right? A lot of people just want to get by, just want to pay their bills and move on and, you know, have a beer on Friday night and move forward. And the problem I give you today, the problem with a lot of the Republican leadership and leaders on the right is I tell you all the time, people, I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, but they always acquiesce to the left. And the left never backed down. Well, Hillary Clinton made that clear just a few weeks back, remember? Joe Biden should not concede under any condition. There's no way he should concede. She put that right out there in the public space for everybody to understand. It doesn't matter whether he wins, loses, or draws, never concede. Well, that's their measure in how to get, you know, Donald Trump out of office, because nothing else has failed. She conceded back there in the 2016 race, right? I think it's time to do some real soul searching here as a people and determine what our future looks like. But again, those 47 states, what about the popular vote? Does Trump win if you take those three out of the equation? And the popular vote is not how we elect a leader, by the way. Let me throw that caveat out there. This is just to see where the direction of the country is headed. Do not mistake what I'm saying. We are a representative republic. We have an electoral college. This way we represent all the United States. It's a genius system. Absolutely brilliant. Well, that's what our framers were, brilliant, brilliant people. And that's what it is when you have the United States. The only thing is we need some more brilliance, and we need to get our election system to be united as well, and not 50 different rules with all kinds of Marxist mayors and governors and county commissioners calling the shots. And then you end up with all the baloney you're dealing with right now. Well, it's like this way in Pennsylvania, and it's that way in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota, and everybody's got Pennsylvania is this way and Florida's that. Everybody's got a different way or reason or rhyme they're doing things. And it's chaos. It's messy. You know, they gave us a hell of a recipe, our framers did back then. They didn't tell us everything. They figured we'd figure it out in future generations. But I'll tell you this now, my fellow Americans. If we don't start to get it right now, we are jeopardizing our future generations. And I'll tell you what, I'm a glass half full kind of guy, but I'm also a little worried and a little concerned. I talk all the time about American resiliency, right? American resiliency. Well, let's not take that for granted. Let's ensure that we are going to be a resilient people and we do what's right for the Republic, for all the people and all the United States of America. So today I want to take a look at what's happening now, the fight ahead, where the country is headed, the 47 minus the three. And then there needs to almost be a committee put together about how we save those three states, which I know they won't like that, the political leaders there, but California, New York, Illinois, and there are more states. I know what a lot of you are thinking out there right now. Come on, Malcolm. You can add a lot more states to the mix, like Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, any of those northern states. And there are other states that fall the way. Look at the state of Washington, right? Look at Oregon. Look at all these states. They've gone so far to the left as well. On the coast there again, must be that acid rain again, or the water. I don't know what it is, the ocean water, but something is doing it clearly. Well, listen, we have Dr. Jay Lehr on today. We'll talk about the direction of America, where we're headed as a people.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Now, Dr. Jay, you've heard on the platform many times. He's a real political thinker. He's a big idea guy, is really what he is. He's a senior policy analyst also with the International Climate Science Coalition. Worked for many, many years as science director of the Heartland Institute as well. But he's a great writer, thinker of our time here on our platform, and we're always happy to have him. So this battle we're having right now, Jay, out there right now. So here's the thing. I want to start in a deep hole with you as to current day where we're at before we get into the 47 and the three. Here's what I want to do. So right now, we have this very contested election. It is hotly contested. There appears to be a lot of fraud, a lot of scandals, a lot of problems. We don't know the whole edge of it yet. It's still coming out. I will say this, though, and I'm really concerned, and I'll share with you listeners out there as well. Every hour that goes by is an hour lost, and every day that goes by, there is a point here of no turning back, potentially. And I am very concerned that the truth prevail and that it gets out there. But here's one of the things that really have people concerned. I see a lot of people out there saying Donald Trump should just be gracious or step down or do what's right for the Republic. They always say that. And that's all fine and good. And we can have that argument all day long that you're going to do what's right for the country. I hear that. But then again, what's really right for the country? What if there is massive fraud? What if it is a widespread deal? What if there was real cyber problems? Do you really think, I guess here's the other big question, Jay, right out of the gate. Here we have a guy, Joe Biden, who he ran his race as he ran it with no questions answered, no speeches from the basement, sincerely, in Wilmington, not making that stuff up. And he's approaching now 80 million votes he's approaching here. And that number continues to move north. He's coming close to that right now. He'll probably go past it because they keep finding more votes somewhere in a car trunk or something. I don't know. My question is, do you really believe in your heart of hearts that 80 million Americans could tie their wagon to a Joe Biden candidacy and that this election was pure and clean and there was no problems? Do you believe that? Or do you think we've got some real problems here in our election system, sir?
Well, Malcolm, we obviously have some questions, but I do not believe any number of votes he ends up with is going to make us feel that the country's moving in the wrong direction. I told you last July that my biggest concern was the popular vote in 47 states, leaving out New York, California, and Illinois, which are centers of liberalism, that the other 47 states, if they went heavily for Mr. Trump, it tells me the nation does not want to be socialist. They want to revere the Constitution as it was written, and that I would be optimistic. Well, that did happen. As I added up the votes in 47 states, I knew that I was correct and that the heart of the country is clearly for keeping America great, for keeping it moving in the direction it has always moved, and avoid moving in the opposite direction.
So you took the total of the 47 states you're saying, right? Let's be sure everybody understands. You took the total of those 47 and he wins the electoral and the popular vote. You're saying that wins the popular vote at that point, right?
That is correct. And as far as the 80 million you talk about, right, where the Biden votes are moving toward, 10 million of those at a minimum were not votes for Biden. They were votes against Trump. He has a personality that turned people off. They were able to dislike him and vote against him. There is little question in my mind that if Trump in the end does not lose and Biden becomes our president, very quickly in the next year or two, those 10 million people will move back with the rest of the country. And in another election, the Republicans will win by a landslide. Now, this is really shown by the vote in the House of Representatives. To me, that is more indicative of what we have than anything else. We were told by the pollsters that we now know are in the pocket of the Socialist Democratic Party that their polls were intended to shape the election, and to a certain extent, they may have. But we were told that there'd be a dozen more Democrats in the House. And instead, it looks like there are going to be a dozen more Republicans.
The other way, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's really the important data points to me. I think the country's moving in the right direction. Now, I don't know who's going to end up being inaugurated in January. What I am sure of, if it does turn out to be Biden, he is not going to be able to do so much damage in 2 and 4 years to destroy the country. And all he's going to do is turn more and more Americans to the right side of the ledger.
Well,
recognize we have
that's
a
debatable point, though, and I hear what you're saying, and I get it. But let me say something else now. I'm looking at the map right now that's red and blue, Jay. And for instance, as far as if we're headed to the in the right direction or not, I mean, there are some signs here, like, for instance, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and even Georgia now are, and of course, Virginia happened a couple of election cycles ago. These states now are turning blue from red. They were once strong Republican strongholds. They are no longer that, Jay. That's not a good sign.
Well, the states you first mentioned, Arizona, New Mexico, that's Californians leaving California because it's such a disaster and reshaping the politics of Arizona. Well,
they're bringing their politics with them. That's a great point. Exactly. You know, that's a real problem. Texas is concerned that a lot of those people are going to Texas as well.
Yeah, you know? It's a problem, but it's not an indicator that the nation is going in the wrong direction. It really is not.
Well, hold on. Would you agree with me if I say California is like a cancer, right? We probably would agree with that. It's like a cancer.
But Jay,
if California is a cancer and that cancer is bleeding over into Arizona, New Mexico, and potentially into Texas and certainly Colorado and Nevada, and it has done Oregon and Washington, isn't that a problem?
It is a problem, but it's not as big a problem as you're making it out to be. Because the heart of the country, the last time I looked, and you're looking at the map, you know, right. The liberals only had 18 states. We had the rest of the map is primarily red. And I think we can fight back in Texas for sure. I do not think they'll take Texas. I think they can take Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico because of their close proximity to California. But I believe Texas will fight it off. I mean, after all, Texas was thought to be a lot closer than it turned out to be in the election. So you cannot turn my optimism away. I looked at the popular vote in the bulk of the country, and the bulk of the country does not want to be socialist. And you're counting people from California moving into Texas. I'm counting 10 million people that voted against Trump and not.
Well, let me talk about that. Let's talk about that a moment. Well, first of all, what all I tend to do here, by the way, just for the record, is I always look at the other side of the coin. I look at both. These are not necessarily my feelings. I think most listeners are probably on to me. They know I look at both sides of the program, and then I'll give you my opinion at the end. But really, I'm not suggesting anything right now other than posing the questions or the thoughts, Jay, in all fairness, because there are multiple ways to look at these things. Let me say this here. Donald Trump, you mentioned that 10 million figure. Now, I don't know what you listeners out there think about that Jay is saying, well, there potentially could be 10 million. And you know, OK, it's an arguable point, and I we could agree or disagree with that. But I don't think it's an unreasonable statement if you believe in that. There are people. Donald Trump is one of those people. You either love him or you hate him. You know, Jay, you agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
There are those who just love him. I mean, he's a icon in the he has more popularity in the Republican Party than anybody we've ever seen, Jay, you know.
Absolutely. You know, actually, he was polarizing, but all of that polarizing was not bad. He absolutely cemented the people that recognized that we needed to make America great again. We did that, and we need to keep America great.
Well, but we didn't do that, really. I would argue a little bit back. I don't think we're quite there, Jay, as you think we are. Although I am, again, an optimist, I do believe there's a lot more work to do. But let's stay on this track right now of when Trump came into office in the 2015-2016 race and when he came to power. A very surprisingly, the man who nobody thought could win won it all. You know, imagine, Jay, that we're having a conversation now. Now, if you and I had this conversation, Jay, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, we would have to pinch ourselves to believe it's real. And what I'm speaking about is that some guy, somebody, whoever it is, would decide to run for president, the highest political office in this nation, that he would never run for anything before, Jay. Never ran for a local race, never ran for a committee, a mosquito catcher or a mayor, a governor, a senator, a congressman, never ran. First time, I'm going to put my hand, and we said, well, this guy's going to come out of nowhere. He's going to run this race, and he's going to win it all. What would we think if we had said that? It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It would be impossible. There'd be zero chance to consider that possibility. So we are now and have for 4 years been pinching ourselves. And what I disagree again with you on, he did make America great. The list of his accomplishments is as long as my arm in fine type. Yeah. What he has done has been amazing.
Yeah.
And if Biden gets in, he will not be able to undo the majority of it. He'll undo a lot.
He'll do a lot with executive orders. He'll do a lot. He'll undo.
Yes, he will. But he is going to turn more and more people to our side over the next 4 years. Yeah. And really, in the next 2 years, I think we have a very good chance, with, if Biden does get in, to take back the House in 2 years.
Well,
I'm also confident we'll win one of the two Senate seats in Georgia and control the Senate by 51-49. And there's also a good chance that crazy Bernie Sanders will take a place in Biden's cabinet if he gets in, and then the Republican governor of Vermont will select a Republican, and we'll have a majority there too.
Oh, interesting, with Bernie. Yeah, that may be a reason why they don't take him in, actually, for what you just said, because they can figure that out real quick, what you just say, because the governor would select the replacement of that, right?
Yeah, but Bernie could demand it. You know, he wants to.
Oh, he is demanding it. He is. Yeah. Right. And well, so is Elizabeth Warren, by the way. They're supposed to be high on the list for cabinet positions, if that even happened. But there's a lot of fight yet left to happen. But let me bring it back. I want to have this pivotal conversation with you and listeners right now. And it's this: was this God intervention? Was the country headed in the wrong direction? Now, Jay, you believe in God, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so did God have a hand in that? Did God say, because listen, I believe we have free will. I believe we have free will as man, and I don't believe God sits back there. See, a lot of people think God sits back there, Jay, with a magic wand, and he's just like, he fixes everything that ails us, and I don't subscribe to that theory. I think man has free will, and I think we're entitled, and we're going to screw up, and it depends how we fix that, but God is necessarily not going to fix everything that ails us. And so then there's this quandary back. And this is a really interesting conversation, Jay, to have. And I know in a political conversation, people don't always bring God into it, or they don't always think in this term. But I love to step back and look at these things and say, okay, what's the real reason Donald Trump became president in 2016? Was that an unnatural call to order? Was it a natural call to arms in our nation? Was the United States of America headed down the very bad and evil path? And was there divine intervention? I just put that out there. If that was the case, what happens this time around? Let's be clear. There are always evil forces. Now, Jay, when you have a guy, when you talk about, well, he's polarizing or he's this or he's that. And let me say this to you. We were headed into some pretty dark areas in our country. And we were in a lot of trouble, 8 years of Barack Obama's policies with the transformation of America. And the problem a lot of people are concerned with now is that whether it's four more years or any kind of years of Kamala Harris as president, because Joe Biden will not be there calling the shots. Nobody believes that will happen. There's a whole cabal behind Joe Biden. It's not going to be Joe Biden we're worried about. It's the cabal behind Joe Biden we're worried about, not Joe Biden. He's like your harmless uncle that has a lot of evil thoughts and can be a little sick from time to time, but how much harm can he do, really? Well, it's the cabal behind Joe Biden we're worried about. But here's the thing with Donald Trump. I mean, so here's a guy, Jay, who says, you know what? I'm going to take on the whole group. We talk about the deep state, whatever the hell you want to call it, swamp. I call it the establishment, Jay, because it's an easier word for people to put their arms around. There are a lot of established career players in Washington. So the establishment is a better word to me. So Trump says, you know, so Jay, he says, you know what, the hell with it. I'm 73, 70. Well, he was 70 at the time, 70 when he decided to run. But he said, you know, I'm 70 now. I've got money. I've got this. I've got that. You know, at that point of your life, Jay, you can have as much of the great cappuccinos and the best wine and as much sex as you can handle. What more is there in life? Now, if you've got kids and you've got grandkids and you've got a life to worry about, at some point, you put your name in the hat and you say, you know what? I want to do what's right. And we tend to do that as we get older. We figure, you know what? I got nothing to lose, but let me see if I can't help the nation out or help some other people out. What do they say, Jay? We get more conservative as we get older or something like that, you know, liberal when we're younger. We want to save.
Absolutely.
And then
Donald Trump saved America.
There you go.
There's no question about it. Go. He saved America.
Well, why should we give in now, Jay? Here's the question I want. Let me give you the question, then I'll be quiet. And here's the question. So a lot of people are saying, well, if he loses, you know, graciously, whatever. I'm worried about the cabal. It's not Joe Biden I'm worried about. I'm worried about the cabal. You know, I have to tell you right now, if the fraud is there and the corruption, why should the Republican Party again, or the conservatives even more so in this nation, bend over again for the left? The left always wants more. Jay, the more you give those corrupt socialists on the left, the more they take and the more they want. And a lot of these rhinos and established Republicans in Washington are as corrupt as the day is long and as corrupt as the left. And the problem is Trump was a threat to the entire system. So I say if there is fraud and corruption, and we believe that there, shouldn't we fight for all of that?
Yes, we should fight for it. And we are fighting for it. And Trump is doing everything he possibly can to hold on to the presidency for another 4 years. We don't know who's going to win. But okay. I have confidence in the American people. And I agree all with right. you about the cabal. But there are limits to what they can do to redestroy America in the next 4 years. And everything they do is going to turn off the average independent American citizen. And they're the 10 million people that are going to move to the right, and they're going to win back the House of Representatives in 2 years. And once they do that, and if we hold on to the Senate, that cabal is very limited in what they can do. They will probably want to rejoin the Paris Accord.
They are.
Nobody's going to like. They'll probably want to rejoin the Iran nuclear deal. And
they will.
Nobody's going to like that. They'll try to play footsie more with China. And no one's going to like that. They're not going to make any friends among most of the American people. And while the liberals probably are 70 million strong or 68 million strong, the rest of the people are going to gravitate to the side of right, the side of good versus evil. I am so optimistic that everything they do that is evil is going to move the bulk of the population in our direction to good.
All right. Well, you bring up some really valid, very valid points here. I'm glad listeners are hearing what you're saying, because depending where you fall in your political beliefs out there, you hear Dr. Jay Lehrer and he says, well, you know, again, he is a glass half full kind of guy. And you've heard him before here. You know that already for sure. I am as well. I hope you are out there as well. But at this point, I prefer also we take as many insurance policies as we can. We don't jeopardize our nation or where we are as a people is all it is. And I think everybody would probably agree with that. We've come to an interesting point of time in our nation. And it's a time for choosing. It's a time for choosing when we see things. The progress Donald Trump has made in a one-term presidency, as Dr. Jay Lehrer says there, is off the charts. He described it as, in a very interesting way, as finite print, very fine print as long as his arm. Right, Jay? All right,
what Absolutely.
You say there. That's an interesting way to say, and I can visualize that easy. And that's a lot of accomplishment. So you're clearly a fan of what he's done here. And I think, you know, I've learned to think something here I want to share with you, Jay. You know, as a political analyst, commentator, journalist, all of these things, when Trump first started to run for office, there were a lot of things I knew about the middle ground, the independent, the moderate, and I knew Trump could be a little hot for those people. They because he's an unusual man for the day. He doesn't mix his words. He's a CEO. CEOs are kind of that way. They're direct, Jay. They're to the point. You know, get to the point. What's the bottom line, right? He's very direct. And he operates that way. And I thought back then, I don't know how that's going to go over with independents, moderates, just left of center, JFK, Blue Dog Democrats, who you reference as probably the 10 million, right, Jay? Is what
Absolutely.
You're saying? And,
yes.
And that's an interesting way to put it. I actually like the way you phrase that, actually. And I want everybody to hear that out there. Because if that is a 10 million block or so, that of votes we're talking now, of votes, right, Jay? I mean, I think we're talking of the voting population here.
Precisely.
Yeah, not just 10 million people, because it's got to be 10 million voting people.
Voting people,
yeah,
yes.
Because a lot of people don't vote. They don't know enough to come out of the rain, and they're not voting, and that's part of the problem, too. In fact, a lot of evangelicals and a lot of Christians did not vote in the last election or the election before that. And I mean, a large number, Jay. In fact, he would have had a landslide if all the evangelicals had properly voted for good versus evil. We would have won the whole parade and then some. But they didn't.
It's unfortunate that they did not. But we're going to see evil at every turn in this new administration, if it is a new administration, and the cabal is in charge, and nothing they do is going to have a positive effect on the rank and file of American citizens who voted not for Mr. Biden, but against Trump. I don't think you can argue with me that at least 10 million of his votes were votes against Trump because of his quirky personality. And when he is gone, they will move back. And you're terming it the establishment rather than the swamp or the deep state is exactly correct, because establishment can be any party. It can be any position. They're just ensconced in running the government as they have for a century. And they to have be threatened by a businessman was very difficult for them. And the public has liked it.
So very good. Very well said. And now, as we turn the ball and continue to move forward here, here's what I will say. In really exploring the first term of Donald Trump, and as Dr. Jay Lehrer puts it out there, all of his amazing accomplishments, some of the most incredible accomplishments is the turn of the courts. The fact that he made such a principal point with him and Mitch McConnell, a turtle head, if you will, they call him, to get as many conservative judges up and down the courts, not to mention three Supreme Court justices, which, of course, we will mention. And now you see the importance of Amy Coney Barrett and what had taken place just before the election there, my fellow Americans, and why that was so vital. And so now you see that. That I'm going to tell you all right now, above all other things, that is going to go down as one of the biggest, one of the, I mean, momentous major accomplishments of this administration. And that's because Obama and the left, they had politicized the courts very badly, which is why all those courts in the local level are really being run by states. Listen, we're going to take a quick pause. We'll be back with more with Dr. Jay Lehrer and more of this conversation.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
We join you back here on The Voice of a Nation. We're speaking with Dr. Jay Lehrer. We're looking at, again, the future and promise of America, but also the vision and where we find ourselves at this election time, right at this very moment here in the Donald Trump presidency. And in a big point, Jay, I want listeners to understand, and then I want to give you the floor to talk about a couple of other points here you have, and also an interesting article you have I want to touch on too. But before I do, real quickly, I've started to really think and analyze the Donald Trump presidency and how amazing it is. And I absolutely believe in every element of my being. And I've said to each of you out there, this is an incredibly historic moment of our nation. I said this to you for many years now, but this is a historical president who has made amazing changes to our nation. I mean, he's going to go down in the record books as just like when you think back in the last 100 years, there are certain presidents that come to your mind immediately. Donald Trump is one of those presidents who will come immediately to your mind, whether he has one, two, or 10 terms. Donald Trump, actually, I'll argue the point, he actually deserves a third term, Jay. After all, they corrupted the first term on him. He had to fight back. Imagine if this guy had a real term where he wasn't fighting the crazy people with all these scandals that they beset his administration was pretty sick. But I think if Donald Trump had entered into office as just another politician, as just another political leader, as just anything kind of goes, as a normal Republican, let's put it that way, Jay, as a normal Republican, because when you say you're going to drain a swamp or you're going to level the establishment and knock them on their backsides, Jay, that takes a lot of work. And you're going to upset a lot of people. You're going to downright piss a lot of people off. And they're going to come at you, which they did. They went after Trump. I mean, full out, the establishment strikes back. I did a whole show on that some time ago. The establishment strikes back. It was the empire striking back there. And I think that's why Donald Trump, that's what I would say, and I would argue back to everybody, say that's why he probably was a brazen or did come off the way he did, because I think when you're draining a swamp, when you're going after an establishment, you almost have to do it that way. You can't do it with peace and flowers and chocolates. Jay, it doesn't work. So I think I can accept that. I think he was an interesting president and is an interesting president for interesting times. What do you say to that?
Well, I actually will go a step farther, Malcolm. I told you I have a list as long as my arm in fine print of his very specific accomplishments. Wow. And I will match that list against any president that has ever served this country, all the way back to George Washington. And I am able to erase one's personality. I'm only interested in your accomplishments. Now, I couldn't erase a personality if that included criminal acts. Like, I mean, Mr. Biden clearly has committed criminal acts. Mr. Clinton committed criminal acts. Mr. Trump has a strange personality, and maybe that personality didn't run as good a campaign. He didn't go after the middle-class housewives that voted against him. He spent too much time working with his base. So he's made, that personality has made some mistakes for him. But I only look at the accomplishments of a great man, and he is. And I think that he set us up in a way that will not be able to be undone, no matter how terrible and how evil the next administration is. We're basically suffering from a mistake that our founding fathers made in the Constitution, and they didn't make many. The mistake they made was to allow all 13 states to develop their own method of election. Understand, there were only 13 states. They wanted all 13 states to agree to a constitution. So this was kind of like throwing them a bone. Let each state control the election. They certainly never foresaw 50 states that would create such a muddle of different ways to be done. But I think that when the conservatives are able to continue another 4 years, whether it's under Trump or whether it's 4 years down the road under some other very good candidate, and the Republicans control the House, the chances of changing our election system to have the one way across the board that you mentioned early in the program, it's very real.
Yeah, I think we need it. I talked about it the other day, Jay, to listeners and approached them to my idea of the electorate system. I hadn't heard anybody suggest this, but I felt in my mind, in my heart, that it was time we acted like the United States, Jay, if we're going to call us that in that regard. Because if we're not, then we really need to change our name, Jay, and call us the Divided States of America. And I think you either got to do a new branding project, a marketing concept, or you've got to get on the same page here. I mean, listen, I believe in states' rights. I absolutely believe in less power in Washington, for sure. No doubt about that. But there are certain pivotal areas that have to unite you as a people, right, Jay? You know,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think that the morass that we are sunk in right here since November 3rd in the election because of the variations, I think will show the American people that their House of Representatives can right the system in the near future.
Yeah. You have a terrific, terrific article up. I want to share with folks to go read this. It's really a great read, one I enjoyed very, very much. It's entitled The Left Wing Pied Piper's March to Socialism. Now, you've been very, very outspoken in regards to socialism and communism, that it's encroaching in our government and in our nation. And you've been very outspoken in past years, rightfully so. And a couple of lines here to read to you, and want people to go read this. But you say here, the Democrats want to decide what you drive, what you eat, and what your children read. They also want to provide sacred status to illegal aliens while undermining law enforcement officers, border guards, and ICE agents. They also want to disarm you to assure little resistance to their sick philosophy. They want to rewrite your history by tearing down the symbols of your past. Now, Jay, that paragraph, but anybody should be able to relate to what you wrote there, because that really is a sense of what's happening right now. And when you study each sentence, each line that we say there, that really is the recipe and the entree way into socialism, isn't it?
There's no question about it. The Democratic Party today is a socialist party, and they're being helped by a cabal of people that you may not recognize immediately, but it's those Silicon Valley billionaires. It's Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and the Facebook people. They are so rich as billionaires. The only thing they don't have is power to run the world. So they throw in with the Democratic Party in the hopes of getting that power and determining everything about your life. That's all they have left. But they do not have, and they want. And so the Socialist Party, the Democratic Party, is going left, because they have huge amounts of money, but they are not going to win, because everything I stated in that paragraph is what the average men and women across America do not want to happen.
We need to fight against this, Jay. What you're speaking about right now is the fight ahead. It's what I fight about, and it's what I rail against every single day of my life here. I do see the country at this pivotal moment. I don't think we should, and I think you would agree, we don't ever should take none of this for granted. Again, I look at America as that beautiful, the light of liberty that shines around the globe. It is God's gift to mankind. Maybe some others across the big sea might not like to hear this, Jay, but I really believe in America. I believe in Americans. I believe in what our founders put together here in this divine paradise we live in. And I always try to remind people of that. We should, it's a lesson we all need to step back and really count our blessings at any time of year, and certainly this time, shouldn't we?
Every morning I wake up, I am thankful. I live in America. I'm thankful for our founding fathers creating this experiment. And I'm well aware of many of our great presidents who have always said, we're going to have to work hard to hold onto it. It didn't exist before America. It doesn't exist anywhere else. So it's a project that we have to hold on to with our very last dying breath. And right now we're at a crossroads that is worse than it's been in recent times, but it's happened before. And I think because the left has moved so far to the left and wants to take our freedoms away from us, I think we've reached the bottom of the hole that many people recognize, and more people want to climb out of it and preserve what we have than ever before.
Yeah, it's a socialist takeover of our nation is what they're trying to do, Jay. We agree with that.
I'm writing a new series of articles that you might be interested in that goes along with it. And it's how environmentalism has saved communism. When the Soviet Union broke down, Mr. Gorbachev went and formed a new green organization. And the communists realized that if they control all of nature and man's interaction with nature, they can use that as a construct to promote communism. And it's what's happening right now. Socialism is just a communism light. Most of it really is communism.
Yeah, yeah. Gorbachev, he's still around too. He's still here with us.
He is. He runs an environmental organization. He was the brain trust that realized that as communism was dying in its political form, It could live in an environmental form. And I'm writing a series of articles about it, I think, that's going to blow people away.
Very interesting. Yeah. Jay, is he part of the good fight or part of the bad fight, Gorbachev?
Oh, he's part of the bad fight. I mean, he's taken environmentalism as a way to control humanity, which is what communism tries to do. Yeah. Because if you say anything that man is doing is destructive to the environment, to the ecosystem, you are controlling their lives in that way.
Well, that's something I want to talk about more ahead, actually, Gorbachev and all that. But yet he was here and did some, he was here at a pivotal moment of history. And yet he kind of came over to the good side with Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher and Pope John Paul and all of that. He was part of that.
Well, temporarily, but that was a facade of recognizing that he could move in a different direction and make communism look good, not by using the word communism, but by using environmentalism. So when he came to that good side, as you say, that wasn't for any other reason to promote communism in another way.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, they say what do they say? The bird never changes his color, or I don't know what doesn't change his color. It's one of those. That's one of those isms, Jay.
And he is a perfect example of that. He put on new clothes, but he was the same person.
Yeah, that the case there. We're speaking to Dr. Jay Lehrer, and it is always a pleasure to talk to him here, and happy to bring him with you here, friends. Hey, listen, we learn a few things here always while we tackle the mission coming forward. Have some interesting thoughts on my mind in the days ahead to share with you all in regards to the big picture ahead, and interesting talk I want to have you too about the Democrat Party and what they're really up to, which we do have to ring the bell and raise the alarm here to make sure that Americans understand the fight ahead. We should never take anything for granted, my fellow Americans. Now, listen, you join me on the weekends. Don't forget for Viewpoint, 10 to noontime, 10 a.m. Have coffee with me Sunday morning. Viewpoint this Sunday has really grown to be an incredible show. Program 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. is Viewpoint Presents with Michael Johns, our second hour. It's a big lift, but it's an important lift, and we're happy to bring that to you always. Join us there each weekend, and we'll see you back here on The Voice of a Nation, 6 and 10 Eastern Time, every weeknight here. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the mission always. It's time to get involved and get loud.